Tanis that you have to do to be mechazik the union of kahuna. The Gemara says in different places there are 24 chav talad matas kahuna. The problem is that there are more than 24, so the Rishonim have different suggestions which ones you combine together. Based on the different suggestions, it comes out enough kamina ledina regarding maisa behema. So the Gaonim, the way they calculated the chav talad matas kahuna, turns out that maisa behema is one of the chav talad matas kahuna. Rashi in his commentary on Chumash at the end of Rashi writes, there's no place that it says that it's for matnas kuna, so obviously it belongs to the farmer. Farmer's mafresh mais behem, and he brings it to the Beis HaMikdash and he eats it. So that's the nafkamina. Usually it doesn't make a difference how you shuffle, how you arrange the 24. If it comes to the end, it comes to the same result in the end, so what's the difference? Here comes out to a different result. So the Netziv, in his commentary, at the end of Bechukaisai, is bothered with the kasha. He dug up a Beferish Pasuk in Sefer Devarayomim. It says that they gave, when he came back in the beginning of the Baisheni, they gave the Maisa Behemoth to the Kohanim. So it says it is Matnas Kuna. It comes up with a Teretz, that maybe even, let's say, I buy 10 suits in the store. Then I donate one to the Kohanim. So you say, there's no chiyuv to donate one to the Kohanim, and there's no kiyum either. If the Kohanim is a poor man, it's a mitzvot stock. Okay, I gave you a suit. But if he's not a poor man, there's no kiyum of anything. But here, by Maisa Behema, apparently, even according to Rashi, that it's not an obligation. It's not one of 24 matans kuna, you mechiyuv to give, but it's a mitzvah kiyumus. So then the tziv comes up with that chiddush. There is such a thing as a mitzvah kiyumus. And he said, how does he have the right to say that? Because he says that he learned in Valojin. He came to learn in Valojin before his bar mitzvah. And they had Talmidim there who remembered Rav Chaim Valojiner. David Tebel was still there. He has different traditions from Rav David Tebel who learned by Rav Chaim Valojiner. The old Valojin Yeshiva was founded, I think, 1802 by Rav Chaim Valojin. Then it was closed in 1882, 92, I forgot. Closed by the Netziv and Rav Chaim, because the government insisted they should introduce so much secular studies. Nobody understood for so many years, what did the government care if the Jews have... So they won't know Russian, so they won't know mathematics, so they won't make a living. So what do they care? What are they insisting? Kept on insisting that the yeshiva has to introduce secular studies, that the Jewish, the alumni, the graduates should be able to make a living. What do they care? The Jews make a living. So no one knew why until communism collapsed at the end of the 1900s. And then they made public all of the secret files of the NKVD, that's the secret service, that's the Russian FBI. Then they found out why, that there was machlokes in the yeshiva. So some of the there was always machlokes in Valojin, the lady is, had a lot of maskilin there. So some of the students mastered to the government, they were angry at the yeshiva, so they mastered to the government that it's a hotbed of revolutionary activities. There were no revolutionary activities at all. So the government kept on sending investigators to find out what route they didn't know Yiddish, so they're going to find out. So they kept on interviewing the different Talmidim. They couldn't find anything. So they kept on introducing more and more secular studies to close the yeshiva. They couldn't say, had no evidence that there was any revolutionary activities going on. That's what they finally found out. There was a professor, Joel Stempfer, who wrote a whole book on the founding of the Litvish yeshivas, and he had to write a second Mahadura after communism collapsed, and they made public all of the NKVD secret files. Then had to rewrite a certain chapter in the book because they found out the truth. Anyway, so that's what the Netziv writes. He heard in the name of the Vilna Gaon from authentic sources, because he came to Valojin when he was before Bar Mitzvah. He heard that the Vilna Gaon said that even though the obligation to eat matzah is only Laila Harishin Chayva, it can't be Elach Rishus. Rishus does mean totally optional. Rishus means it's a mitzvah kiyumus. There is such a thing as a mitzvah kiyumus. So he thinks that maybe that's the answer according to Rashi. Even though there's no obligation to give Maisa Behema to the Kohanim, but it's a mitzvah kiyumus. If you give it, there is a kiyum. Then he has a chiddush. Maybe the same is true regarding Lokuach. The Gemara says in Bob Mitzian Daf Piches, I said, Tassus Kaltua Zarecha, if it grew in your field, if you buy tevel from someone else, so you're not mechuyib and atarot to be mafrish Shumas HaMaisa. Different opinions in Rishonim. When did you buy before Miroch? After Miroch, it does make a difference. Different opinion there in Bob Metzia. Dat Pechas. So, so the Netziv has a chiddush that even though Lokuach is not Chai Min HaTorah, but if you're Mafrish, it's Chal Min HaTorah. So this is further developed. The Ravid has such an opinion that the obligation, the Ravid holds the obligation to be Mafrish Shumas HaMais Min HaTorah. He holds like Rashi and Tosfos Min HaTorah. It's only on Dogon Tirush V'Yitza. Dogon is Chamesh is Minei Dogon. And Tirush is wine, and Yitzer is olive oil. And on Shar, all the other fruits and vegetables, the obligation is only the Rabbanan. But the Ravid writes in the Kos of Shom, and it's Asogas on the Balamor, the end of Chulin, you're not obligated to be Mafrish, but if you're Mafrish, it's Chal Min HaTorah. So you find such a thing, that there are sources to say such an idea, that there exists such a thing as a mitzvah kiyumis. One of the big Talmid Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael said that the only God ever said that there is no such thing. A mitzvah means you're obligated, you're mitzvah. No such thing as a mitzvah, so shoes doesn't exist. But then it's quotes it. That's, he's the one who said he heard the name of the only God. That matzah called Shiva is Rishus, means a mitzvah kiyumas. And he extended it to other cases as well. So in the end of the parsha, you have a review of many of the matnas kuhuna. The Torah refers to the Truma as Mishmeres Trumaisa. This is in Perek Yutches, chapter Yutches, Pasuk Ches, Mishmeres Trumaisa. The Gemara understands Mishmeres Trumaisa means when you have Truma, you have to be careful to be Mishamarit, that you shouldn't be Hoylech Le'ibut, you shouldn't get ruined, and it shouldn't become Nitma, in order that the Kohen will be able to eat it to fulfill the mitzvah of Achilas Truma, the Kedusha of the Tahara. So that's called Mishmeres Trumaisa. And then the pasuk says lemashcha. L'chol nesatim lemashcha. And the Gemara understands lemashcha legedula. There was a son of the gedolim corresponding with Rav Chaim Berlin. That was the Netziv, son of the Netziv, from his first wife. First wife passed away, so then he married. Second wife was his niece, who was much younger than him. She was the daughter of the Orach HaShulchan, the sister of the Torah Tmima. So when he learned Torah Tmima, learned in Valojin. So whenever he quotes in the Tziv, he writes, Dodi Gisi. First it was his uncle, because it was his mother's brother. Mrs. Orach HaShulchan was her maiden name was Berlin. She was the sister of the Netziv. And then the daughter of the Orach HaShulchan married the Zivik Sheni. She married her uncle. So they had a son. They had Rav Meir Berlin. Rav Meir Bar Ilan was also the son of the Netziv from the second wife. They say that the Chafetz Chaim said Rav Meir Bar Ilan apparently did know his father well, otherwise he would not have been involved in the founding of Mizrach. Rav Chaim Berlin was not involved in Mizrach. So that's how they say the Chafetz Chaim said he did know his father. Anyway, Rav Meir Bar Ilan wrote a whole book about his father, Rabban Shalisot, that was printed by the Mizrachi many years ago. So he has a whole chapter dedicated to who his mother was. That his mother, the daughter of the Orach HaShulchan, married a person who was a learned person, who was always learning. And she decided he doesn't know how to learn. She ran away from her husband because she wanted to get. And she ran away from him because she said he's an Amoritz. And it was against the law to run away from your husband. So the police were looking for her. So she was hiding in the forest. And then after hiding for a while, then she went back to her parents' home. And her parents said, Meshugana, he's never going to give you a get. And who's going to marry you? And what's wrong? He sits and he goes, no, he's an Amoritz. He doesn't want to marry him. They said, you're never going to get a shidduch, a divorced woman in those days. No one's going to marry you. So she'd rather remain single remain in Aguna for the rest of her life and live at the Amoritz. So she got a get from the first husband. And then she was hanging around her parents' home for a while. And then the Meshulach came from the Baloj and the Yeshiva. And they to raise money for Valojin. And he said that the Rosh Yeshiva's wife passed away and they're looking for a shidduch for the Rosh Yeshiva, but then it's it. So she said, he knows how to learn, I'll marry him. She was 30 years younger or something like that. So she married in it. So that was the second wife. The second wife they had, Rav Meir Bar Ilan was from the second wife. And Chaim Berlin was from the first one. So Chaim Berlin has, I think the alumni from Chaim Berlin put up money to put out a collection of letters, tshuvas, the return that they found from Chaim Berlin. So I think they put up one volume, and after they put out the one volume, then they discovered there's so many more, so then they put out, now it's a whole set of four volumes, all the letters of Chaim Berlin. So he has one of the letters he has corresponded with others. Some of them had certain kashas. Some of the rabbanim came up with the chiddush. Maybe the din of the moshchal gedula kedarsh amlochem ochlim is supposed to eat the matnas kahuna and it becovered the kashas. So some wanted to say it only applies to flesh. It doesn't apply to non meat. So Chaim Berlin says it's against the pasuk. The original pasuk says it by truma. The truma is not flesh. There's no truma. The flesh doesn't grow from it. It's not peres eretz yisrael. Obviously, it's on truma. The Gemara says it even applies to menachas. Menachas are also not flesh. The Gemara says it applies. At least menachas have kedusha. Truma has kedusha. The Gemara says it applies to zera l'chayim v'akeva. It is flesh, but it's not. Doesn't have kedusha. It's chul and gemur. But still, a mashchal gedul, like kedach sham lachem achlim, they should eat it in a bekovet dika fashion. That's why there's a big discussion in Tosfos. The kotcha kotchim have to be eaten by zichre kuhuna and the azara. We have a din en yeshiva bazar el lel malchi beis David belvad. So you're not allowed to sit. So they ate the kotcha kotchim, the chatas and the yosham. They ate it standing. That's kedach sham lachem achlim. Lachem, you sit by a table and you relax. So there are two opinions in Tosfos. So one opinion is farfam, they ate it in a standing position. And the other opinion is not, that for the purpose of eating kachin kachin and azara, certainly the Kohanim were permitted to sit. Two opinions, Mishlam Melech quotes it, it's not in the regular Tosfos. It's in the Tosfos Kisviyad that Yosef printed in the Shittim Kubetzes on kachin. But there is a din. Mishmeres Trumaisa, you have to be Mishamaret. That it shouldn't become Nitma, shouldn't become Ovad, shouldn't get ruined. And Mishmeres Trumaisa, there's a Rashi in the first half in Chulin. Rashi writes, if there's a din of Mishmeres by Truma, certainly Mosad, there's a din of Mishmeres by Karbanas, you have to be careful that the Karbanas shouldn't become Tamid. The Karbanas shouldn't become Hoylech Liba. And then there's a din of Lamashcha, Lamashcha, Lagdula, Kedarsham Lachma. You should eat it and become a Digash. The Mordechai quotes the minik from the Balei HaTosfos that when you give to Yenah Ben, you should give it in the fashion of Lamashcha Legedula, not Kedav Sham Lachem Ochlim, you're not eating anything, but when the father of the baby gives the Yenah Ben money to the Kohen, you should give it in the Bekovedik fashion. Have the Bekovedik. So the Mordechai quotes the minik that the Kohen sits like on a throne, like a melech, and the father stands. And he comes like he's standing in front of the king, and the king is sitting on his throne. So years ago, I don't remember anybody doing it. But now that whoever knows the Mordechai, it's not quoted in the Yoreh Deh. It's Hilchos Pidyon Ben, it's not quoted. But now they put out a Likud Sefer, all the Hilchos Pidyon Ben. So they quoted that Mordechai. So now they start to do like that. That the Kohen sits and the father stands. L'moshcha l'geduba. So the Pasuk says that it starts off with Matnas Kehuna, starts off with Truma. Then it says, Zei Elecha Mekodesh HaKadosh Min Ho'esh. The kotchi kotchim is only nechel to kohanim. The Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim in the end of the second perik in kiddushin. You can be mekadosh an isha either because of bishtar or bibia. So the chachamim prohibited kiddush bibia. Mekadosh bibia, so they give you makas mardis. And the minig developed. The Rambam says minig developed to be mekadosh bikesef, not to use shtar either. So you can either be Mekadosh B'Kesev or B'Shove Kesev. So the Rishonim say, they quote from the Mordechai, meaning is Davke to use Shove Kesev. We don't use Kesev. And the ring, that's based on the Zohar. You give a ring. So the Mishnah talks about being Mekadosh B'Shove Kesev. So the end of the second parak in Kedushin says, if you're Mekadosh B'Disir HaNozayim Kodeshes, that was the question on the Bechina. What are the three reasons why Mekadosh B'Disir HaNozayim Kodeshes? And then if you're Mekadosh Anisha, the coin is Mekadosh Anisha with Bissar Karbanis. Let's say he got some Bissar Kochi Kochi. Ishim Mekodesh Zana. So that's a machlaik is Satanam, where they say Karbanis. The original case is Kochi Kochi by Bissar Chatas and Bissar Osham. So that's a machlaik is Satanam, where the Kochim are Mom and Bailamanat. if the kohen is mekadosh bechelko, so some panoim say, yeah, it's mamon bainum. We paskin that korbanos is mamon gavoy. Then there's a machlekes in Bava Kama, daf yigimel. Maybe kochim kalim is mamon bainum. Rabbi Yosef Lili says only kochim is mamon gavoy. So that idea, that whole concept, that korbanos are mamon gavoy, is based on the phrase in the pasuk. Zeh yelcha mekadosh kadosh min ha'esh. It's only, we don't burn it, we give it to the Kohanim, they eat it, and when they eat it, it's like Haktorah al-Gabi HaMizbeach. Just like Haktorah al-Gabi HaMizbeach can only be done by Zichri Kuhuna, Abbas Kohen can't do it, so to the Achilas Kachi Kachim can only be done by Zichri Kuhuna. And you have to eat it in the Azor, because it's an Avodah. Kohanim Ochlim Abaylam is Kapim. The Kohanim eat it. Kohanim, by the Kohanim eating Achatas and Anoshim, the Baylam get a Kapor. That's in the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Tzadik Amud Aleph. There are two girsas in the Gemara. We have one girsa, and the Rashba quotes from the Goyim a totally different girsa. So the Rashba quotes a girsa that takes it literally. Kohanim ochel mebalim eskapim. If the Kohanim don't eat the kochim kochim, the besar chatos v'yoshim, the balim don't get a kapar. The Gemara says if the basar is nitmosha ovad, if it gets lost or it's tummy and they can't eat it, they can't eat it, so there's no mitzvah to eat it. There's no mitzvah, then achilas kohanim is not miyakeh. But if you have the psar kochi kochim is sitting in front of you in the azara, and the kohanim are here and they can eat it and they don't, then the bailam are not yotzei. And you wait till the end of the day. You can't eat it after chatzai salayla. If they don't eat it all day long, the bailam have to bring another chatas v'yoshim. They're not yotzei. The way it says in our Gemara, it doesn't have that girsa. But the Rashba quotes an old girsa from the days of the Rishon. They used to recite the Gemara's Baal Peh till the middle of the days of the Goyim, when they there was a big machlekes whether they're allowed to write down the Gemara or not. So in the days of the Goyim, they wrote down the Gemara. So by the time they wrote it down, there were so many different versions. So sometimes the major shinui in the Schoes, then Akotza, this is one of the major shinui in the Schoes in the Gemara. Anyway, so that's the drasha of the Tanai Mahal, the Kochi Kochim is Mama Gavoya. They got it from this phrase, Zei Yelcha Mekodesh HaKadoshim in Ha'esh. Mekodesh HaKadoshim Tochlenu, what do you mean? They eat the Kochi Kochim and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they don't eat it, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They eat it in the Azara. Why does it say Mekodesh HaKadoshim Tochlenu? So the Gemara says, what's the din if the goyim surrounded the Beis HaMikdash and they're shooting rockets or missiles and the Kohanim are unable to eat the Kochi Kochim in the Azara and they run into the Kodesh, they run into the Hechel, or they run in for protection, they run into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You're not allowed to go in like this. Only the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Achatz Bashana. But if they go in because they're shooting rockets, they're shooting missiles, so the Gemara says, how do you know the Kohanim are allowed to eat the Chatas and the Yoshim and the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Maybe it should be Nifsal B'Yoytze. If you take the Kochi Kochim out of the Azora into the Harabais, Nifsal B'Yoytze. So maybe if you take it out of the Azora, you take it into the Hechel, you take it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, maybe it's Nifsal B'Yoytze. So it says, no, the Kodesh HaKadoshim Tachlenu, if need be, they can eat it even the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's how Gemara has that comment. Kol Zorcha Yochalos and Kodesh Yelocha, only the Zechorim. The Nekev is Bas Kain is a lot to eat Truma. That's the next passage. Zei Yelcha Trumas Matanam Levanecha V'Livnei Secho. The daughters can eat Truma, but they can't eat the Chatas and the Oshem. There's a big Machlekes in the Rishonim, the Bali Ates, and a Machlekes. A Bas Kain is a Chelos B'Truma. She's Tahira. Is that because the Bas Kain is a Kohenes? Her father's a Kohen, so she's a Kohenes. So of course she's a lot to eat Truma. It's a chiddush that she's not allowed to eat. The Gemara in Chulin has a discussion. When they say which dinim that are unique to Kohanim, which dinim apply only to Zichri Kuna, which dinim apply even to a Bas Kohen. So Halacha Lamaisa, the Mishlam Melech points out there's a machlokes whether a Bas Kohen can take pidyon abden money. So Tosis in the Gemara says in Kiddushin that you can say lididi shavili. If you give, you have to give pidyon abden to the Kohen. So let's say the pidyon aben doesn't have to be cash, it can be shavu kesef. So let's say you give the kohen something, a beged, that's not really worth 5 shkolim. But the kohen is chalashing to buy such a beged, he would be prepared to pay 5 shkolim today. It's Sunday, all the stores are closed, and he needs black hands. So the black hat for him, for some reason or another. So he would be prepared to pay 5 shkolim for such a hat. So if the Aviyah Ben gives him a hat on Sunday, and he will be dishavali, he says, as far as I'm concerned, it's worth 5 shkolim. The Gemara says, he yotze pigyon aben. So the Gemara says, Rav Kahana, shokol sudra with pigyon aben. It took a sudra. The Tosa asked the Kasha, Rav Kahana was not a kohen. His name was Kahana, but he wasn't a kohen. Unless you say the two people with the same name, Rav Kahana, one was a kohen, one was not a kohen. Okay. And Tosa says, but Rav Kahana married a kohenus. So maybe he took pigyon aben money, bishvil ishtoi. So that's a chiddush that Tosa is in Kiddushin. The first fact Tosa says that if you give pigyon aben money to a kohenus, even if she's married to a Yisrael. Kohenus married to Yisrael is not allowed to eat truma, but she is allowed to take pigyon aben money. That's what Tosa says. So the Mishnah Melah points out, the Rambam says beferish, that you're not yotzei pigyon aben if you give it to a kohenus. It has to be given to Zichrik. So what does the machlokes depend on? So in Yeridaya, in the first Chelik Yeridaya, when they talk about Zrola Chayayim Ha'keva, so the Rebbe Kivega and the Chidushim on Yeridaya points out that they really should depend on the machlokes Amoraim and Chulin. The Gemara has a machlokes. How do you know which dinim of Kohen apply to only to male Kohanim? Which dinim apply even to Baskoim? So Rebbe Kivega says it depends on the Psukim. Depending on the Psukim, be the Shaila, whether you eat a pigyon aben, if you give it to a Baskoim. So the Balei HaTosfos have a machlokes. The fact that a Baskoim achelos betruma, is that because the Baskoim is a Kohenis? Well, no, maybe she only eats truma because she's beveis aviha. Aye, but she eats truma even after the father dies. No, she's not beveis aviha. And she eats truma even after the age of 12 and a half. You say, Akhtana Anaira is beveis aviha. Binareh beveis aviha. But after she becomes a bulgaris, she's not beveis, she's not bishus aviha anymore. So that's nonetheless, that's a machlekes. So some Rishonim say, with respect to eating truma, she's still called Bishu Saviya, even after Bagrus and even after the father dies. The Pashta says she eats Truma because she's a Kohenus, not because she's Bevei Saviya. But it's 2 days of Machlekes Tesis and the Tes Verosh. Machlekes among the Balei Tesis. So the Pasuk says Beferish. Pasuk Yud Aleph that live on Necha, the live no Secha. A Baskain is permitted to eat Truma. And even if you have a Yisraelis who's married to a Kohen, sometimes be darshan beis zulishto. Like it says, the Kangal on Yom Kippur in Parshas Achrimos, it says he has to say vidui 3 times. So one of the vidim said, the chippa bado b'yad beis zulishto. That's the first Mishnah in Yuma. Kangal has to be married on Yom Kippur. It's a shayla that Tosfos Yishonim on the first daf in Yuma is not sure what's the din. If the Kangodal is single on Yom Kippur and he does all the Avodas, is it Ma'akeh B'Yevet? Because he's supposed to say Vidrif. So if he's not married, maybe it's Ma'akeh B'Yevet. Tosfos is not sure. On the first Mishnah in Yuma. So here also it says Kol Torah B'Beischo, so the Sifro, Darshan's on the Posit, Beisazu Ishtoi. So Rashi and Kiddushin asked the Kasha, the Gemara has a whole discussion. How do you know that a girl is married to a kohen and eats truma? The Gemara learns that from the pasuk. Now, Moroim learned that from the pasuk. Kinyan kaspo. And last week said you kinyan kaspo. What do you need kinyan kaspo? Here it says kol tor beveischo yochal osa. Beis zulishtoi. So Rashi answers beis zulishtoi is only nesua. And the Gemara's discussion is arusa. Menator arusa chelos betruma. It's midirabbanan that a girl who has erusin with the kohen is not allowed to eat truma. But Melatorah, she eats Truma. So for that, you need a separate Pasuk. There may be a difference. There may be a difference. It could well be that, let's say, Behemas Kohen is Oichel B'Truma. That's not a mitzvah. You don't say a bracha before you feed the Truma to the Behemas Kohen. That's a heta. It's not an Iser of Ibud HaTruma if you feed it to Behemas Kohen. And Eishes Kohen is learned that from the same Pasuk. Kinyan Kaspos, so that's a question. Is it a mitzvah when an Eishes Kohen eats Truma? It's a mitzvah, so she says a bracha. Just like when a Kohen eats Truma, he says, Bor Pi HaGofen, or whatever it is, Bor Pi HaDoma, HaMoitzi, whatever, Zoynes, whatever bracha. He says a Bichas HaNen, and then he says a Bichas HaMitzvah, like on Pesach night, eat the matzah. He says, Motzi Lach Manavaz, and say, Hashem Shem Tav Zetzvano, Alachilos Matzah. So the Rambam writes that when a Kohen, the Rambam writes in the last page in the Chaz Trumas, the Kohen eats even Trumas Chutz Lords, the Rambam writes, even Chalas Chutz Lords. He says that bichas hamitzvah shekedushan bikedushas shalaron v'tzivon v'alachilas truma. So the shaila is, if an eshus kohen eats, does she also say a bracha, or is it like behemoth kohen? Behemoth kohen is a heter; it's not a mitzvah. So this is a discussion. Menachem Zember had a correspondence with the Menachem Zember was killed in the Warsaw Ghetto, killed in the middle of the Second World War. He was a goyin, a goyinim. He was a Polish goyin, but everybody, even the Litvish gedolim, everybody recognized his godless. He knew how to talk and learning on all the different styles. He knew how to talk like a Polish, he knew how to talk like a Litvish. He knew everything. His father-in-law supported him. His father-in-law had a hardware store. His father-in-law supported him, and after the father-in-law passed away, he took over the hardware store. So he was a businessman. But his head was always in learning, and there was a whole bunch of Polish gedolim who were businessmen. So they used to correspond with each other. All the Bablis, Yerushalmis, that's child play. They knew all the Ragachavas and all the Arsamers. They knew everything. They knew everything all. So the Rabbi Menachem Zember had a correspondence with his son-in-law, the Arsamech, who was also a businessman, Ram Luftbier. The Arsamech only had one daughter, and that daughter was married. She had no children, and she died. So the son-in-law died, leaving no children. So they put out the sefer, Zer Avram. It should be in the place of children that he never had. So there's one sefer, Zer Avram. That's the kind of correspondence between Rabbi Avram Luftbier, the son-in-law of the Arsamech, and Rabbi Menachem Zember. So in that sefer, the Rabbi Avram has, when he printed it, had a maftach alphabetically arranged of all the different topics, because they talk on Kol HaTorah Kula there. And every letter they talk about, they run through all of Shas. So he has this topic, he quotes a machlokes achreinim about this. But Eishes Kona Chelas Betruma, is it a heter, or is it a mitzvah? So some want to say a chilek between Arusa and Nesua. Arusa is learned out from the Pasuk, Kinyan Kasvo, so that's like behemoth kohen is a chelos b'chum. So that's a heta, but Nesua is learned off in this pasuk called Tor B'Veis Chayochal Oysai. So that's a mitzvah. Maybe a Nesua eats chumah, that's a mitzvah. The din of Ishti Kegufoi, the Gemara says, when you get the psuli edus, let's say when a man gets married, so not only am I psuli edus to my wife, for or against my wife, I'm psuli edus to my wife's brother, or to my wife's sister, and everything. So the Gemara said that's only that Baal Ki Ishta, Ishta Ki Gufa, that the Kroivim of Ishta apostle to each other, that's only after Nisun. During Erisin, he's apostle latest to his wife. But you don't say Ishta Ki Gufa. So maybe that's the vote over here. After Nisun is Ishta Ki Gufa, so you treat the wife as if she's Mamash or Kohenis. And if it's only Erisin, then it's like Behemoth Kohen. Going kik nefesh kinyan kaspa, it's only like the hemiskon, so maybe then it's only a heter, not a mitzvah. Then the Torah mentions that you have to be mafresh truma kol chelav yitzor v'chol chelav tirosh v'dorgon. That's what most of the Rishonim hold, that the chi of trumas and maises, their raisa, is only on dogon tirosh v'yitzor. Dogon is the chameshes, meaning dogon, and tirosh is wine, and yitzor is olive oil. Chelev, tir chelev means min amuvchor. I think Gemara says it's a mitzvah to be mafresh truma min amuvchor. And if you mafresh aloy min amuvchor, that's the last pasuk in Parshas Korah. L'sis olav chet barim chemes chelva mimenu. So the Gemara has in the beginning of Tmura, and that hey, Gemara has a machlekes abay v'rova, about the shas topic. Nilsa damrach mara le'sabed, yavid mahani or yavid lo mahani. The Torah says you're not allowed to do something. You have no right to express your opinion about something. Let's say the Torah says, we spoke the other day, no, you're not allowed to carry in the street on Shabbos. What are you going to say? He carried across the street, so it's not there. Of course it's there. He carried the thing the other side of the street, it's there. The Torah says, you're not allowed to eat chazer. Eat the chazer, it's in your stomach. It gives you nutrition. You can't say, Yavid Lamahani. Yavid Lamahani is a machlekes abai v'rovin. If there's something that needs dasa odom, the Torah says you're not allowed to express that das. So that's it. Like, you're not allowed to be mekadosh an eishes ish. That's an avera. You're not allowed to be a kohen, is not allowed to marry a grusha. Yisrael is not allowed to marry a mamzeres. So what's the din if he goes ahead and a kohen is mekadosh a grusha, or the person is mekadosh an eishes ish? So by grusha we pass kam la'alocha kiddush and atovsim v'chayv yilavim, and by chayv krisis we say en kiddush and atovsim. So it's a contradiction. So obviously, One is the rule and one is the exception to the rule. So that's a machlokes of Abaye v'Rava, which is the rule and which is the exception to the rule. The one opinion is the rule is milsa damach marolei sabin, when Torah says you're not allowed to express das, you have no right to express das, so it's not kal yovid lamehani. And chayvi laben is the exception to the rule, that kedusha natos. And the other sheet in the Gemara is the reverse. The rule is like chayvi laben milsa damach marolei sabin yovid mahani. It is chal, because it's not chal. What avera did you do? It's not chal, just a bunch of words. So the answer is the avera, it is chal, and the chayvi krisis is a yetsim in a klump. That's the machlokes of Abaye v'Rava. The two gears is there, which way did Rabbi say, which way did Rabbi say. But that's the machlokes. So the Gemara there says, but there are certain cases where everybody agrees. So this is one of the cases that there's no machlokes. If you term in Hara al Hayofen, it says, V'lasis olav chet barimchem eschel b'mimena, if you be mafish min amufchor, you will not have violated an aver. If you be mafish min agarua, if you term in Hara al Hayofen, you mafish min atome al atohor. Or you have watermelons in some of the avatiach saruach. You have a watermelon that's not so tasty. And you're going to be mafresh on that, on the watermelons that are tastier. So that's you're not allowed to do that lechatchila. And if you did it, but yeah, but the pasuk, that pasuk says before, said that is chal. Whatever you hold in general, whether the rule is a yavid mahani, yavid lamahani, but here for sure it is mahani. A term in Aral, a yofid, that's the gemara tamura dafe, yavid mahani. So this din barim chamas chelbim and a chel of yitzur, chel of tivish bedogan. You have to be mafish min amufcha. Chel means min amufcha is a din lachatchila. But b'diavad, if you mafish alei min amufcha, it's chal b'diavad. And the dogan tivish v'yitzur, that's in Shulchan Aruch. That's how we pass like Rashi Tosfos, Rabbi Rishonim hold like that. That min atar the chiv haprashas from the maisas is only a dogan tivish v'yitzur. The Rambam holds that even on if olive oil is chayiv and grape juice is chayiv, so the Rambam holds grapes are also deraisa and olives are also. Many Rishonim hold like that. Most of the Rishonim hold like that. Grapes is also deraisa and olives is also deraisa. Rambam Chumash holds that. Rambam Chumash is only the grape juice, the wine, but the grapes. If you eat grapes, the chiyuv hafreshes truma is only with the Rabban. But most of the Rishonim don't accept that Ramban. They hold that if you chayv on tirish v'yitzer, on the olive oil, on the grape juice, so the grapes and the olive is also deraisa. But that's as far as he goes. So the Rambam holds, no, all peres u'ilan are deraisa. Why should you distinguish between grapes and olives? Maybe you would have said shivas amina. But they don't say shivas amina. Some Rishonim do. But the shivas amina is a din for bikurim. Because you bring from Shiva's Amin, but most of Rishonim it's not relevant for Shomus and Maisa. So the Rama holds, it does make sense to single out Dafka grapes and olives. He says, all Paris are Elon, Achaib and Shomus and Maisa is their eyes. I think Mar says, Baksa grows on a tree, and Maisa Haruven is only the Rabbanon. So the Rabbit says, you see, the Ramam is wrong. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, the Maisa Haruven is the Rabbanon, because all Paris are Elon is the Rabbanon. So the Rambam says, no, because boxer is not royal achila sodom, that's why. It's not really royal, it's not so royal achila sodom. They always give boxer on Tu Bishman. I never like that. I hold like the Rambam. Yeah. It's called St. John's bread, maybe, for St. John. He enjoys it. Yeah. And we just mentioned before, the Ravid writes in his commentary on the Balamon, the Kosum Shem, the end of Chulin. He also like Rashi, only dog and tivish v'yitzah is deraisa. All maisa yerek, the Gemara says, only the Rabbana. Vegetables is only the Rabbana. The sharp pear is the ilan, the raibin holds only the Rabbana. He says the obligation to be mafresh is the Rabbana. But once you mafresh it, then the raibin holds that chidush, the hafrosh is chal min ator. Then the Torah has a din bikurim. You have to be mafresh, you have to give the bikurim. The Torah is listing off all the matas kuna. Bikurim is also one of the matnas kulim. There's a din in this week's Sedra in Parsha Samor. If a kohen eats truma b'shoigeg, if a zar eats truma b'mezid, the punishment is misa b'dei shamayim. So if a zar eats truma b'shoigeg, he needs a kapara. So just like if a person violates an isa koris b'shoigeg, person violates an aver which if he would have done it, the mezid would have been chayv koris, kol shel zar koris, they should be gosel chatas. He has to bring a chatas for kapora for having violated aver. So the same is over here. The Gemara makes an equation. A person, a zar, eats truma b'shoigig. If he would have eaten truma b'mezid, would have mechayim misa b'day shamayim. So if he eats a b'shoigig, Torah says he has to get a kapora by giving kerem b'chaymish. And then when you give the kerem b'chaymish, the pasuk says in Parsha Samar, v'nasan l'kayin es ha-kodesh. What does it say? V'nasan l'kayin es ha-kesef. So the Gemara, the Mishnah, you say you're not yotzi if you give kesh. You have to give daba haroi li'es kodesh. If you drank wine, if the Tzar by mistake drank wine of Truma, he has to give wine of Chulin. When he gives it to the Kohen, Hatashlim and Nefachim Lias Truma. If he ate cookies of Truma B'shegig, he has to give that kind of grain. And then when he gives it, Roy Lachila, it's Hatashlim and Nefachim Lias Kodesh. So the Avnei Nezer had a grandson who raised a fascinating Shaila. So he has the letter that he sent to his grandson. At the end of Chelek Chashem Mishpat, he doesn't have so many tshuvas on Chashem Mishpat. At the end of Chashem Mishpat, he has miscellaneous letters. A lot of them are just in learning, not tshuvas at all, halacha l'maaseh, talk and learning. So he has a shaila that Bikurim is a hybrid between Truma and Maaseh Sheni. Because Bikurim can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. The person is Tohar. So the fact that it can only be eaten by Kohanim is because it has Kedushas Truma. The fact that it can only be eaten in Yerushalayim is because it's something like Maaseh Sheni. So let's say by mistake a person eats Maaseh Sheni Chutz LYerushalayim. A person eats Maaseh Sheni B'tumah. So there's nothing you can do. There's no din that you have to make up and give Kerem V'chaymish and Tashlum and Apachim Liyaskar. There is no such thing. There's only din like that by Truma. So the Mishnah says that there are four things that have the same status of Truma. Actually, Shem Echad is considered Truma. It's a Mishnah Me'ila. A person only gets Malkus if he eats a kazayis of treif of food. One time Rav Shimon holds in the Mishnah Malkus, you get Malkus if you eat a chatzishir also. Chatzishir is asman atar and kol shahula Malkus. But we don't pass them like that. Then there's one time holds if you eat a half a kazayis of chazer and half a kazayis of basa v'cholov, so you ate a kazayis of treif. So we don't pass them like that either. You have to eat a kazayis of one isa. So the Mishnah says, but the one isa doesn't have to be exactly one isa. Let's say a zar, a person who's not a kohen, eats quarter kazayis of truma, quarter kazayis of bikurim, quarter kazayis of chala, and a quarter kazayis of maisa mina maisa. So the Mishnah says all four are shem echad. They all have a shem truma, and they mitzarfim yachad. So bikurim has a shem truma. Bikurim is a din of truma. So the Shaila says, if a Tzar will eat Bikurim B'shoigeg, has to give Kerem V'chaymish, and when he gives it, Tashlum and Nefachim Lias Truma, so you have to eat it in Yerushalayim? The Kohen has to eat it in Yerushalayim? Or no? Mitzad the Maaseh Sheni Shebo, there's no din. If a person eats Maaseh Sheni Shebo, there is no din, he has to give Kerem V'chaymish. It's only a din mitzad the Truma Shebo. That the Truma Shebo doesn't have to be restricted to Yerushalayim. So maybe, even though the original Bikurim is a hybrid, it's a combination of Truma with Maaseh Sheni, because you can only eat it. Only Kohanim, Tohorim, can eat it in Yerushalayim. It's a hybrid. But if a Zar eats it B'shoigeg, the din that you have to give Kerem V'chaymish in order to get a Kapar, that's only for the Truma aspect that it has. So maybe Tashlumin, Nepachim Lias Kodesh, means that Tashlumin will not become Bikurim, they'll become Truma. So the kohen that you give it to can eat it wherever he wants. So that's an interesting. He doesn't have any rice one way or the other. He runs through Shas, Yerushalmi, doesn't have any rice. Fascinating. And the Torah has a din of pidyon haben. The pidyon haben money goes to the kohen also. But the pasuk is very striking. The pasuk says, "Ach padotiv des bechor ha'adam, es bechor habeimah hatamei otivka." The Kohen does Pidyon HaBen. The father does Pidyon HaBen. What do you mean? Achba, the Pasuk is speaking to the Kohanim. All these psukim are talking to the Kohanim. Adab Hashem Allah Haron. Say Yelecho, the Kodesh Kodosh. Everything is speaking to Aaron. Zelecho Chumas Matanom. So it says, Achba Do Tivde. Es Bechor HaAdam. The Kohen does the Pidyon HaBen. So you see, that when the father gives the money to the kohen for the pinyan ben, the kohen is considered as if he's participating in the Maisa Pidyon Aben. That's Rav Soloveitchik thought based on this pasuk, and a striking Rosh on the pasuk. There's a discussion in the Ketzai Sacheshen. Can you give Pidyon Aben Bal Korchai of the coin? Whenever you owe money to someone, so the Rishonim have a raya from the Gemara that Piron Bal Korchai Shmei Piron. If you owe money to someone, that's I owe you $1,000 and I give you 1,000 singles. You say, Mishugana, what kind of 1,000 singles? I gave you a $1,000 check. I say, no. And it says it's a legal tender. It says on the dollar bill, it's a legal tender. So I give you, so the Gemara says, even though you're angry about the way I'm paying you, Piron Bal Korchai Shmei Piron. Unless I owe you $1,000, I lent you the money. You lent me the money in the base medish. And then we're driving through Harlem, and the car breaks down. And all the natives surround the car. And then I say, oh, I owe you $1,000, and I give you back the money. Say, don't give me back the money now. So that says, Piron Bal Korchai Lashmei Piron over there. That's the Gemara at the end of Bava Kamma. You have to pay it back to the malveh. That's not called the piron, unless you give it back to the malveh in the same safe condition that he gave it to you. But you give it to him in a condition that it may be taken away by the neighbors. That's not called the piron. But let's say you gave him the money in a makam ha-mishtameh, but you gave it in an uncomfortable way. Uncomfortable. He gives him 1,000 singles. He gives him a bag full of nickels. He says, you count it up. It's $1,000 worth of pennies. So the Gemara says, Pari Zuza Zuza, Shmei Piron, even though it's a... So say, Piron Bal Korchai Shmei Piron. So what about Pidyon Aben? Also like that. That's called Piron Bal Korchai Shmei Piron. I give the Pidyon Aben money to the Kohen. He says, I don't want it. I say, I don't care whether you want it. Here it is. So the Ketzos wants to say that it's good. So I'm so tough in the simple reading of the pasuk. Ach pod the sifta, that the Kohen is doing the Maisa Pidyon by accepting the money. So he said, you get the impression the Kohen has to agree to accept the money in order that it should be considered. He participated in the Pidyon Aben. The same thing, Bechor Behemah Tumeya, tifta. Pidyon Petach Amar, tifta b'seh, when you give the seh to the Kohen, so the Kohen's accepting the seh is his participation in the Pidyon Petach Amar. Petach Amar Koidem Pidyon, as a machlokes Tanoim, the end of the first parak of Mecharis is all about Petach Amar. There aren't so many dinim. So the Gemara says they got Petach Amar out of the way. The Pidyon Aben is next to the last parak in Mecharis, a nice easy parak, self-contained. Then the rest of Mecharis is about Bechor Behemah Torah. So the Torah has a din of Pidyon Aben. After Miben Chodesh Tifta. Miben Chodesh Tifta. The baby has to be a month old. That's Machlekes Satanaim. When do you do Pidyon Aben? On the Yom Lamed or the Yom Lamed Aleph? We pass on Yom Lamed Aleph, but there's a Mishnah, it's in Chorus, it's a Machlekes Satanaim. Miben Chodesh Tifta. The Netziv has in his Shiurim, in Meroy Mesoda, Tziv raises a question. When is the Chiyah Pidyon Aben Chal? Is it Chal on the Yom Lamed Aleph, or is it Chal the day the baby's born, but you can't fulfill him, it's until the Yom Lamed Aleph? What's the difference? How much do you have to give? The Gemara says, once you establish how much the Pidyon Aben is, so it's Nikva, and it doesn't change. That's the Gemara, the first half in Perek HaZohar, in Bom Mitzi. So the question is, how much is the Pidyon Aben? So the Hazanish says, Pidyon Aben Nikra Aden is 96 grams of pure silver. The meaning is you give 100 grams. So sometimes silver jumps in a month. So let's say the day the baby was born, the 100 grams of pure silver, now it's close to $100. Pidyon Aben is like $100. Whatever 100 grams of pure silver is. So sometimes there's a major jump. So on the Yom, on the Yom Haleid, let's say it's $75. And the Yom Lamed Aleph is $100. So once you establish how much it is, it doesn't change. Even though you give Pidyon Aben at the age of 85, you never had a Pidyon Aben. And when you reach 85 years old, then you give. So once it was established how much you have to give, it doesn't change. Unless the monetary system changed. So then it's not the same money. But if the monetary system didn't change, then it remains the same. That's how most assume. Once it's established. Moshe Feinstein has a different shita. I don't think his shita was accepted. He thinks that the money was established in 1776. George Washington made Hakamas HaMedina, and they established how much Pidyon HaBen was. So once the monetary system was established, it remains L'Olam. It doesn't depend when this baby was born. I don't think that's the generally accepted opinion. We usually assume not so. Moshe was very upset. He had a machlekes with Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky. They were both under the communists in Russia. So when the communists took over the government, so they made a new monetary system. Maybe they changed everything. So there was a big machlekes, how much they have to give for Pidyon HaBen. Now Moshe had his unique sheet that you start from Hakamas HaMedina. And then when you switch a new government takes office, you have to figure out what's the conversion rate. How do you switch from the old system to the new system? And Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky didn't agree with him. So I think that tshuva in the Sefer is Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky. He said the Minsk Gadol agreed with him. And he thought that it was a chutzpah why Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky still continued to disagree with him even after the Minsk Gadol agreed. But I don't think the rest of the tshuva is good. I don't think that part has been accepted. But he says he learns the Gemara in the first half in Hazor that once the Pidyon HaBen is established, it stays the same. Doesn't change. He learned since 1776. It depends on Hakamas HaMedina, when the monetary system was established. I don't think that's the generally accepted pshat. It was usually accepted the way the Chazon Ish wrote, when the baby is born or the Yom Lamed Aleph. So that can sometimes happen after Kamina. How much do you have to give? Chamesh Shkolim. If you have a b'chor behemah tohira, that says there's no pidyon on that. Even if it gets a mum, there's no pidyon. All karbonas, when they get a mum kavua, have pidyon except for two. B'chor and ma'aser. B'chor and ma'aser are the two that are not kodesh al yedei. You're not magdashim. You say, harei ze shlamim, harei ze oila, harei ze karbon pesach. All the other karbonas, you create the kedusha. B'chor is kodesh me'ela, kodesh me'rechem. Even if you don't declare it's a mitzvah lahakdisha, it's a mitzvah to the machlokes hatanan. We pass like the tana that the farmer who has a b'chor behemah tohira is a mitzvah lahakdisha. Kol b'chor she'yoel b'koch b'tzancha azocha tagdish l'Hashem alakecha. So tagdish l'Hashem alakecha means mitzvah lahakdisha. To be meisiv kedusha al kedusha say. Rabban holds that that's pshat by Shabbos also. Shabbos is kviyah v'kayma from sheshes mebereshes, but we have a mitzvah to recite kiddush. What do you accomplish by reciting kiddush? Ramban says you are endowing Shabbos with an additional level of kedusha, in addition to the kedusha that it has. Kviyah v'kayma from sheshes mebereshes. By Baruch Halakim Hashem Shvei Be'akadosh Es Hakadosh Baruch Hu is mekadosh all the Shabbosos li'olam void in the future. But Bnei Yisrael, when they recite Kiddush, are adding on Kiddush. That's a Kiddush the Ramban has on the Pasuk in Parshas Yisroel. Zochus Yom HaShabbos L'Kachin. So similar to that is a B'chor Be'emet Torah, Mitzvah L'Hagdisha. We Paskin like that opinion. Rebbe, Shel Beisri, Rebbe's opinion was like that. Mitzvah L'Hagdisha. So you add on an additional level of Kiddusha. But the B'chor is Kodesh Me'elof, even if the farmer wouldn't be Magdish. And the same thing, Ma'aseh Be'emet, the Gemara says you have to count 1 to 10. You have to have a narrow entrance way. And you have all the animals that were born this year in the corral. They go out one by one, so you count 1 to 10. So let's say you only have 10. You counted 1 to 9. You don't have to count. And then 10 is sitting there. He doesn't want to walk. So the Gemara says, if Ravtza Tachteha, if it sits there, but there aren't 11. There's no question which is 10. We know which one is 10. There are only 10 animals. So the Gemara says, Asiri me'elif u'kodesh. You have to do a counting. You have to do a minyan. But you don't have to be magdish, the ma'aser behema. So the two karbonis that don't need kedusha sa'adam, it's a mitzvah, b'chor, mitzvah lakdisha. We follow that opinion of Rebbe, but it would have been kodesh by itself anyway. It's kodesh me'elif. So those two karbonis that don't really need kedusha sa'adam, those are the two that don't have any pidyon. Even if it gets a monk of words, Yotze Lechon, believe pidyon. You had in Bava Kama. Repeats again, I don't know why, Levanecha v'liv neisecha. Repeats again. The Truman may be eaten by a Bas Kohen also. why it says so many times. Some of the Torah's Kohanim present has a drasha on this. Then it says twice that the Levim get Maaser Rishon, and it says twice, Sachu Hulachem Chelef Abedaschem Be'Oil Moed. The Gemara says that if you give Truma Gedoilo to a Kohen Katan, you're Yotze, but you have to make sure the Kohen Katan is old enough to know, not to be Metamei. As a young child, he doesn't know, so he's got it's a violation of Mishmeres Jumaisa. But he's old enough to understand that he has to be careful not to be in the time of the Truma. So the Gemara says, Yoytze the mitzvah if he give the Truma Gedolah to the Kohen Kotel. So the Ktzois quotes Akasha from the Prichodosh, I think. How can you be Yoytze by giving to a Kohen Kotel? A Kotel is only Kohen and Midirabon. The Gemara says, Mitzias Cherish Hayte be Kotel. Is only Gezel Midirabon. So if the coin is not Koinim and Ator, so you never gave him. So you never give the Matnas Kun. Matona means you makne to the coin. And if the coin is not Koin, how are you out to Matnas Kun? So the Pichorush gives the answer that we pass on like that opinion. It tells whenever there's Das Acheres Makne, then the cotton is Koinim and Ator. So here the farmer is giving the Truma to the cotton. So the Das Acheres Makne. But the Ktzois is not happy with that answer. He says, if the din would have been that Tovus HaNo'ah is mammon, the fact that the farmer has the right to pick whichever coin he wants to give the truma to, that's called Tovus HaNo'ah. So the Gemara has a machlokes HaTanoim in different mesichtas, in different contexts, whether Tovus HaNo'ah mammon or ain't a mammon. So the Ktzois understood, he quotes some Rishonim who say like this, Ktzois understood that the machlokes means when the farmer gives the truma to the kohen, is he makne to the kohen? Does he express das makne? Oh no, the kohen is like zeichem and a hefta. So that's what the Ktzois says. We paskin la locha tervis ano ena mamin. So there is no das acheres makne. So how did the Prichodesh's answer is not a valid answer. So the Ktzois gives an answer. So he says, based on a Tosfos, he says, if I owe money to someone, let's say I borrowed money from you and I pay you back. So what's the definition of a piron? Kinyan? So he says, you don't need a kinyan. When I make the money accessible to you, let's say you're in the middle of needing dough, and I have $1,000 bill, I have $1,000 check, whatever, and I want to pay you back. He said, but my fingers are sticky. Put it on the table. Good. I put it on the table, say goodbye, thank you very much, goodbye, and I leave. Then the Ganav comes and he steals the money. So all the Rishonim say, the Chov is Parua and the money is nikna to you and it's your loss. Why is the money nikna to you even though you didn't pick it up? The Chov is Parua because I made it accessible to you. You don't have to make a kinyan on it. And by virtue of the fact that the Chov is Parua, that itself accomplishes that the money is nikna to you, you don't need a Maisi kinyan. So that's what the Ktzois quotes such a Tosfos. Tosfos has one opinion that even with Das Acheres Makne, the Kotan is only Koinim Midirabon. We paskin like the other opinion. Whenever there's Das Acheres Makne, giving a Matana to the Kotan, and the Kotan is Koinim Midirabon. But Tosfos had another opinion that not so. Even with Das Acheres Makne, the Kotan is not Koinim Midirabon. So Tosfos has a Kasha, but there's a Gemara that talks about a Kotan acquiring property on the level of their eyes. How can he acquire ownership? So Tosfos says, maybe the kid cleaned my car, and I agreed that I'm going to pay him $10, and maybe he washed the windows, maybe he did some activity for me, and I agreed to pay him. Then when I'm mechuyev to pay him, when I make the money accessible to him, that's called a piron. By virtue of the fact that it's a piron, money is nikted to the kid, and there's no need to make him isekin. And there are gemaras that substantiate that idea. Whenever the chov is parua with this money, with this shavikas, whatever it is, so then the money is nikna to the malve, or to the person to whom I the mocher, whatever I bought merchandise to the mocher. So that's what the Ktzois says. How are you yotze the mitzvah matnas kuna by giving shuma to a kohen katan if the kohen katan is not kohen? If there's no das acheres makna because tovus hano'ah ena mammon. So the Ktzois is working He thinks the assumption of the Pirchadish is correct. It's only, you're only Yotze Matnas Kuhuna if you makna the money to the coin. So how you makna to the coin? So he says, it says in the Chumash, Sachuhu Lachem, Chelef Abedas Chambi Oil Moed. What you give to the coin and to the beam is Chiris Payalim. So since it's a debt, Chiris Payalim, so when I put the truma in front of the coin cotton, I invite him to eat at my house, and I put it on the table in front of him, I'm Yotze already. He's already kind of, because it's a debt. So who lachem tzchivus poilam. Chelef avidaschem, chelef avidaschem, chelef avidaschem yol moir. It's piron achoif. That's what the coin is cutting out there. So then the choice puts in parentheses, but he has a kasha, that a coin cut before bar mitzvah is possible to do avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. So how can it be tzchivus poilam? So he says it's a low plug there, right? So the Nesibis is masik on the Ktsos. He says, the Ktsos himself shlugged it up. He says, he himself says it's ridiculous. Because a cotton doesn't do avoid a Beis HaMikdash. The man is there. There's no Beis HaMikdash. What do you mean? Giving over Truma Maisa is Chiris Poelim. They're not doing any work. So he gives a different answer to the Kash. But this is the Pasik that the Ktsos discovered. He discovered a Pasik, a new concept.
Could it be maybe we could say it's Chiris Poelim for the fact that the Ketanim that were Kohanim were Rovin in the Mikdash? Could
they
that
did
be
some.
Pe'ula?
And even though they're not doing, there's no Beis HaMikdash now, the Kohanim in general, some of them, yeah, so we give all of them, even the Ketanim, yeah. Not so bad, yeah, the Ketanim can be defended. Then the Torah has a din when you give Maaser Rishon to the Levi has to be mafresh Maaser min ha-Maaser, and Maaser min ha-Maaser is otherwise known as Trumas Maaser. Maaser min ha-Maaser has the exact same status as Truma Gedol. A Zar is not allowed to eat it, and if he eats it, it's Misa B'dei Shamayim, and if he eats it, B'shogeg, you have to give Kerem Chaymish. Exactly the same. And Nechshol Lachem Trumas Chem, the Trumas Maaser that the Levim give to the Kohanim, has mamish is choshev kemo kadogim and agam chamleim and ayakad. Has exactly the same din like the truma gedola that the farmer gives directly to the kohen. So the ma'isa and a ma'isa has the same status. That's the pshutu shel mikra. Nech shel lachem truma aschem. So the Torah Shabbat Peh has an additional level of interpretation on the word v'nechshav that truma nitelas v'machshav. Nech shel lachem truma aschem. What does mean truma nitelas v'machshav? So Taisus in Pchoris and other places, Erevin, Taisus points out that it has two parts to it. Number one, let's say you have 100 bushels of grain, so you want to be mafresh truma 2%. So you have to pick up the 2 bushels. So Taisus said you don't have to pick it up, but then you have to say here is a truma. Afrash has truma is an inyan of afloa. In afloa, we learn out from the pasuk. Nefesh ki sishova levate bisasai. That's in Parshas Vayikra. Neder and Eshvui, you need bitus for sign. So Trum is one of the two exceptions to the rule. Nefesh alacham chumaska, you neither have to pick up the bushel of grain, nor do you have to say a word. It's a yotze min haklal. Nefesh alacham chumaska, Trum and itelas memachshav, you don't need a hakboah, and you don't need an amira. It's chabali amira. We were talking the other day about the Tosfos, on Chav Tes on the days. Tosfos quoted the Gemara in the end of everything. When you make an erev for all the people in the community, that they should be allowed to carry within the Tzuris HaPesach, so the Gemara says, Tzorach Lagdi HaTefach. So Tosfos learned Tzorach Lagdi HaTefach for the Kenyan Hagbah. if everybody, let's say, have 100 people, 100 people live in the neighborhood. So 99 families have to leave a challah in my home. I live here, I don't have to put a challah. Those who don't live here, each of the 99 families that don't live in my home have to put a challah. So we don't do like that, but you're going to have a bag full of 99 challah. It has to be in one container. It's a pain in the neck. So you buy a box of matzahs and you give it to someone, you pick it up. They make akbar, Zachlan Shalom, make akbar, and the baksamats and zombashit was by all of the other 99 people. So that's the poshab shatni mara, that you have to sort like the atefach, you have to make a kinyan akbar, a tefach to be kind of shutras for all of the Shamar Shabbos who want to carry in the air. So we mentioned the Magen Mishnah. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Mishnah, quotes from the Gaonim, a different shot. The akbar needs 3 tefach. Not that Rashi holds you need 3 tefach, you need 3 tefach, mehiros, akbar tefach. That's the din. Like you have to shake a lulav. So when you make an erev de chatzer, it's tzorach lagbi a tefach. If you don't pick it up, it's not an erev. So we don't pass on like that. We pass. You don't have to. Just like over here, you don't have to pick up the truma. So you don't have to pick up. You don't have to pick up the erev either. Just like the farmer is mafresh shumah gedoyla, so too the lady who gets ma'aser rishon has to be mafresh ma'aser mina ma'aser, and that has the exact same status as the chumah. When the lady gives chumas ma'aser, has the same status like the chumah gedoyla. Just like the farmer is mafresh shumah gedoyla, so too the lady has to be mafresh ma'aser mina ma'aser. So the Gemara has a famous comment at the beginning of the second parak in Kedushin. The Gemara is trying to establish the din of Shlucha Shalom Kemoisa. How do you know from the Chumash that you can appoint a Shliach and the Shliach can act on your behalf? So one Tana says, when the word came to Rima, Gamatem, Gam the Rabbi says, HaShaliach. The farmer can be mafrish Chuma on his own, or if he wants, he can appoint a Shliach to be mafrish on his own. So the Gemara says, we have a few psukim. It's not enough one pasuk. You need one pasuk here. Another pasuk by get. After you have the Gemara has a few psukim, so then you establish the whole thing. Then the Torah says, what did the Levim do with the Ma'aser Rishon? They can eat it wherever they want. What do you mean b'chol mokem? So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim in the Sifro, afilu beveis akvaras. Truma, you have to eat the tahara. Neither the truma should be tamei nor the kohen who eats it should be tamei. But ma'aser rishon, you can eat in the beis hakavod. You're not allowed to eat anything in the beis hakavod. It's loig l'rosh. But it means to say there's no issue of tumah. Shuma, ma'aser rishon may be eaten even in a state of tumah. Is a zar permitted to eat ma'aser rishon? A non-kohen. So the pashtus is, yeah. Pashtus is that tumah has kedusha. So because of the kedusha, it has restrictions. He can't eat it. But tumah and a zar can't eat it. But ma'aser rishon has no kedusha. So just like a tomei, chal tamas b'chol makom, afilu beveis akvaras. So there's no din of tumah, so there's no din of zar. The Gemara in Yevamos quotes, Reb Meir has a unique opinion which we don't paskin like, that ma'aser rishon also the zar. But we don't paskin like that. So this Torah, this doesn't exhaust all the chof talad matas kunas. There's quite a few of them. Before you get to the end of Parshas Korach, earlier in the Parsha, you have the din of Shmiras Hamikdash. There's Mancha Beis Hamikdash or Yekayam. There was a din that they had to have, you said the Rovim, they had to have a certain location. Shama Mishmar Tocha Mishmeres Kol HaOil. The Kohanim and the Levim says a few times, Shama Mishmeres Kol HaOil. Shmartem Mishmeres Hamikdash. Quite a few times. You have to know. Why is it repeated five times? Again. They had to have palace guards, just like in Buckingham Palace. They have guards and they change the guards, the whole ceremony. So it enhances the beauty of the Beis Hamikdash, that palace guard. Not so much the Rambam writes, not so much, but I'm afraid someone's going to walk off with the Shulchan and the Menorah. I wouldn't put it past anybody. But so the Rambam says, we're afraid someone's going to steal things from the Beis Hamikdash, but just like the palace guards enhance the beauty. So that was a big machlekes. Does it make sense? Even if your kitchen lost in love, that was manazadik dushin samigdush is still there. Does it make sense that we should have Kohanim Alevim signing up and they should stand over there? They can't stand on the Harabais. Everybody's tomei, so they can't go on the Harabais. But maybe they should stand where they're allowed to stand. Maybe they should stand on a high point and watch. What are they going to watch? What are they going to watch? They're going to watch the Arab playing soccer on the Azar. They're going to watch all the Goyim roaming around in the Harabais where they're not allowed to go. So that's what Avnei Nezer has a chuvah. So he says, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't. Palace guard is, if you have a palace, see, you enhance the beauty of the palace by having palace guards. It looks beautiful. But if it's all in a state of churban, so it doesn't make sense. And others disagree. Used to be a big tamachot, a big guy in Rab Chaim Zimmerman. He was, I think, he was a nephew of Rab Baruch Be'er, and then he came, uh, he came to America, he was single. He learned Parah Moshe Soloveitchik, came in the yeshiva. And then later on, he was the Rosh Yeshiva and Skopje Yeshiva for a while. So he passed away a long time ago. One of my chavrusas married one of his daughters. So he thought, not like davening days, he thought that we should organize all, that we should get all the levim in the world to take turns, and they should, everybody should go there, it's in Seoul for a week. They should stand guard, they should be the palace guards. I thought the pashtus is like davening days, it's a joke. But the mikdash is in a state of chut. How do you enhance the beauty of the mikdash? She quotes from the Medrash that Parsha Shlach ends off with the din of Tchelos, then you have Korach. So the Medrash says that Korach is making fun of Moshe Rabbeinu. He asked him a question, what's the din if you have a beged? The whole beged is dyed Tchelos. Is there a mitzvah, four-cornered beged, so you put in tzitzis, is there a mitzvah to put in Tchelos in the chutim if the whole beged is tavua Tchelos? Moshe Rabbeinu said yes. So Korach is making fun of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's like a kal v'chomer. The whole beggar is tchelos. What do you need? Rav Soloveitchik had a drasha that he said over many times. This is a drasha that he said in Eretz Yisrael also when he was a candidate for the Rabbanus in Tel Aviv there. At that time he belonged to Aguda, so that he didn't get the Rabbanus. The Rabbanus was, there was a rabbi, Moshe Avigdor Amiel. He was known as a Mizrahi leader in Europe. He learned Rav Shimon. He's one he founded the yeshiva there, the Yeshiva Chodesh Yeshiva. I told you when I had to go visit my grandchildren, the Yeshiva Chodesh, I took a taxi from the airport. The taxi says, where do you want to go? I said, I want to go to the Yeshiva Chodesh Yeshiva. It's in Tel Aviv. He said, what's the address? So I said, Echov Sura Pinat Pumbedisa. Ein davar shekazeh. So he looks on his map, that's where it is. It's at the corner of Surah Pupadisa. I think Rav Amiel probably gave the names to all the streets there. That was the beginning of the yeshiv there, that part of Tel Aviv. So so this address that Rav Soloveitchik liked very much, he said it over a lot of times. He said that the Lavan represents those things in life that are very clear. He said the Ravid writes Hasogas on the Rambam, so he often writes a Loshon, Lo Mechuvar. Chivra means white. Lo Mechuvar means it's not clear. He doesn't agree with the Rambam. The Gemara says on the Pasuk, by Moitzi Shemra, the husband claims that his wife was Mizana during Erison, so says, so the Gemara says, what do you mean, Forsa Hasimla? Dvar Mechuvarim Kisimla. Why Dvar Mechuvarim? Because years ago, normal dress was a white dress. Hasimla was white. Colored dresses, that's a fancy thing. That's already unusual. But a normal simla would be white. When it says a forsa simla means dvar mechuvar kisimla. So the tchelis and the lovan represent different aspects in life. Lovan, the tchute lovan, represent the things that are very clear, everybody understands. And tchelis is dvar melekisi, I covered things that we don't know anything about, things that you don't know about. So it represents the idea that every person has to have a Rebbe. There are things that we know, we don't have to ask. It says in Chumash, says in the Shulchan Aruch. Then there are things that we don't know, we're not sure. Every person has to recognize that there's Tchelos. So he didn't hold from Tchelos. Korach said, Kolo edu kulum kedoshim. Madu etesnasa, what do we need a Rebbe for? We were all there at Har Sinai. We can all, every man's religion, we could all paskan on our own. You don't need Moshe Rabbeinu. So that was his rebellion. He wanted to do away with the tchelos. There shouldn't be such. We don't have to have tchelos. Everything is lovely. Everything is varm chavarm kisim. Arrogant people hold that they don't need a rebbe. That's Rav Soloveitchik. Everybody needs a rebbe, and even if your rebbe passed away, you have to think, what would my rebbe have said in this case? A lot of people will guess wrong on purpose. They know what the rebbe would say, but they falsify and say. Rabbi Soloveitchik would be alive today, he would have said. They never understood what he said when he was alive. But if he would be alive today, he wouldn't say what they said. Remember what I said. Rabbi Soloveitchik would be alive today, he would say that women are kosher ladies. all the crazy things. Yeah. That was his drasha. And then there's a haftorah of Bahar, I think. Actually, with this. Torah Bahar is right before the Babylonian armies conquered all of Eretz Yisrael at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon. So Yirmiyahu HaNavi is in prison, I think. Chatzar HaMatarah, I think so. I think they know where it is. They know where the Chatzar HaMatarah is in Yerushalayim. So the Baruch Shalom tells them that your cousin, Hanamel ben Shalom Dodecho, Boy Lecho, is going to ask you to buy his field, Sodi, share in the city, Anasos. The din is that if a person sells a Steachuzah, so it's a mitzvah on the Kroivim to buy it back. So if the person is about to sell, so it's not a mitzvah, but it makes sense instead of selling to a stranger. And then the Kroivim have a mitzvah to do Geulas Steachuzah, to sell it to the Kroivim in the first place. And that's what was doing over here. Your cousin Hanamel is broken and needs money, and so he's going to come to you. So l'chol mishpatagulu, you're the closest relative. When he comes, you should buy it. So the cousin comes and he buys it, and then he asks the Ribbono Shel Olam, Ribbono Shel Olam, what is this all about? The Babylonian armies are about to take over the whole country. The real estate is worthless. What kind of investment is this? Why am I buying a sada in the city on Anasos? We're going to go into Golas Bavel now. It's worthless. Why did you tell me? So the Baruch Shalom tells him that this is a siman lebanecha. You should write two stories. You should write Sefer Gol and a Sefer Chosum. That's the Gemara has in the last parak in Bavli Basra, is Paraget Poshet. He used to have two kinds of stories. It was a shtar Poshet and a shtar Mekusha. Get Poshet again, Mekusha. Get Poshet. It was written out all on one side of the paper, and they ate him a sign on the bottom. Get Mekusha, you write a few lines, and you fold it over, and you sew it up, and somebody signs in the back. Then you write another couple of lines, and you fold it over, and you have another eight sign over there. So you have to have at least three signatures. Get Mekusha, all you need are two signatures. Get Mekusha, you have to have at least three signatures. So what did he tell him? What do you need two stories for? Either you write a Get Mekusha, you write a Get Mekusha. Why did you write Sefer HaGolui? That's a Get Poshut, open, and a Get Mekusha. Sefer HaChosun is the one that's sewn up. What do you need two stories? So he tells him why. That represents the idea that there are certain things in life that are very clear. It's on one side of the page, it's all open. Then there are certain things that are like hidden. You don't know what it says until you rip out the pictures and you read it. So the Baruch Shalom is implying to Yirmiyahu HaNavi that there are certain things in life that are obvious and certain things in life that you don't know that are hidden. And you should take the two stories, and you're not going to be in Golas Bavel for thousands of years. You're only going to be there for 70 years. You're going to come back. So you're not going to live so long. He didn't live so long. He didn't come back. Yirmiyahu didn't come back in the days of Ezra Nehemiah. But your children, your grandchildren will come back. So you should buy the field as a siman to Bnei Israel. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, when the Navi gets an instruction, he does the tzibu, even though it doesn't make any sense to him. After he does the tzibu, then he has a right to ask, why did they tell me to do that? But you have no right to ask before you do the tzibu. After he does the Dvar Hashem, after I did the tzibu Hashem, Hashem of the King, why did he tell me to do this? You know what you're doing. Why did you tell me to buy this field? So Baruch Shalom tells him a similar banach. So as you pointed out, that aspect you see by Avraham Avinu, also by the Akedah. So Baruch Shalom tells him he should. It didn't make any sense. Absolutely didn't make any sense. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yitzchak is going to be, what's going to be? Yitzchak is going to be Zerah. He's going to kill him now. He didn't have any children yet. So it was clear to Avraham Avinu what he's supposed to do. He did it. After he did it, then Rashi quotes from the Medrash. He asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what was it all about? It didn't. First he told me Halei Hashem the other. Then they said, Avtim Shal Yal Chalanar, what is it all about? There are a lot of people who are not prepared to do a mitzvah unless they understand it. So that's a lack of Kabbalah Zalmach HaShemah. We assume that the Rebbeinu Shalom knows what he's talking about. And if it's clear what you're supposed to do, you have to do it whether you understand or not. David HaMelech says, "Tehillim tuv tam b'das lamdeni ki b'mitzvasecha ha'amonti." So the Meiri interprets on that pasuk of Tehillim, "B'mitzvasecha ha'amonti." I believe in the mitzvah. I'm going to do the mitzvah anyway, even though I don't understand it. But tuv tam b'das lamdeni, explain to me why am I doing it? I'm not going to hold up the kima mitzvah till I'm going to understand the reason for it. I'm going to do it anyway. Ki Meiri interprets despite the fact. Despite the fact that it's Zecha Monte, but I want to understand why I'm doing it. Then when Rav Soloveitchik was delivering this drasha on Parshas Korach, I think I heard it more than once from him. He liked that drasha. So he would discuss the whole rebellion that Korach made against the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu. So he said, I think if I would be there, I would probably side with Korach. Because everything looked so fishy. Moshe Rabbeinu and his brother and the Levim, they're taking over everything. They're not giving anybody else a chance to be in a leadership position. He said, I would have probably sided with Korach if I would have been there. Okay, good. Have a good Shabbos. I'm supposed to speak to Shabbos on Parshas HaShavuot. I should say something that I didn't speak about.